On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time to power up with BT and Sal.
All right, BT, we're powering up with actually some bad moments. Top five worst losses in our fandom. Let's go number five through number one. You want to start us off?
Sure. I could easily say the time I lost a Tecmo Bowl and threw it out the window in college because I lost, you know, $25. I mean, there's a lot of losses to choose from.
That's a good one.
All right. You know that story. I've told you that on the air. Number five to me, and I mentioned this before, and I didn't really think it would make my list here, but I really do have to go St. John's, Arkansas.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very unique loss here. Because the euphoria, and you were here next to me every day.
Yeah.
You know, you went to the Garden, you talked to Rick, you were enjoying the St. John's run as well. And it just, like, when it ends. And it was so abrupt that I remember, you know, 31 wins, Big East regular season. Supposed to win that game, favorite, a two seed, all the things. It was an amazing season. But I just remember getting back to my hotel room, I'm like, wow. It's really over. And in college, especially with the transfer portal, it's never the same. So, I mean, it was an amazing experience, but and that's personal for me because I've been doing the game so long and I've never called an NCAA tournament win. And I'm thinking Sweet 16, going to San Francisco. It ended hard. It was rough.
All right. For me, number five, I'm going with last night's game.
You are.
It cracks the top five for me. There are others. Look, I mean, as sports fans, we all remember the losses, the brutal losses that we endure. This one last night was so bad and such a historic collapse. And the only reason why it's not higher is because it's only game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. But think about how bad a loss has to be in current day to impact 45-year-old Sal versus 25-year-old Sal. Mm. That was such a horrific, unbelievable loss last night. It has to be on my top five worst feelings. Dude, I'm telling you, I was sitting there just despondent watching the TV and watching the replays and watching the post-game stuff and like, I cannot believe they just lost this bleeping game. So
wow.
It was number five. Obviously not the worst, but the fact that it would crack top five shows you how bad that loss was last night for me.
That's interesting. Respect. Now, if this is 10 years from now, would it find a way into mine? If they were to lose the series, because I'm still confident.
Right.
But I hear you. All right, number four for me. Now, understand, I'm answering these how I feel in the moment.
Yes.
And this could be higher. So, obviously, 98 was a glorious season for the Jets. 12 wins, divisional championship, losing Denver. Blake Spence, you know, the block punt, they're winning at the half, and then it unravels. We would have played your team in the Super Bowl. I really push back. I think we would have smoked you guys. Who the hell knows? Whatever. I think I'm going to get my first championship. The loss, though, is actually the next year. Week one, 1999. I'm at the game. I'm in the old Meadowlands, right? It's the Jets and the Pats. And Vinny ruptures his Achilles. And at that point, I really didn't know much about the Achilles. Like, I wound up doing mine maybe 9-10 years after that. But back then, the Achilles, just like an old man, Achilles, whatever. I don't have to worry about that. And I just remember Keyshawn's reaction post-game and everything. I knew the season was over to the point when Tom Tupa, the punter, came in and threw a touchdown to Keyshawn Johnson. My buddy Rob, who I used to go to the games with, he's jumping. He's like, yeah, we're winning. I didn't even celebrate because I knew that moment the season was over. Walking out of that stadium was next level hurt, dude.
I like the way that you describe your list because I went under the same thing. Just my feelings when enduring these losses, not necessarily just the magnitude of it. Number four for me, this was both the feelings I had and the magnitude of it. And it's actually surprising. It shows how many bad losses I've had as a sports fan to endure. Game five of the 2000 World Series. Now, game one was actually worse as far as the game goes, because that was a more gut-wrenching loss. And you knew once the Mets blew an opportunity in game one against the Yankees in 2000, they probably weren't going to win the series. But being at game five, seeing the Piazza ball that I thought was gone off the bat fall in the glove of Bernie Williams, seeing the Yankees celebrate on Shea Stadium turf, having to walk out through
Ooh.
That,
How is that not number one?
Well,
that's about as bad as it gets. Good God, slinking to the cars or the trains?
There's three.
After the Yankees celebrate on Shea Stadium dirt?
I know.
Three
that I have worse than that.
Were at that game. That's tough.
Tough to top that one, but somehow my fandom has. Anyway, okay. That was number four.
That's a good one. I'm going to go a little baseball here. And this is different. This is now, obviously, this hurts as a Yankee fan. But I'm going to go with the 2001 World Series, and I go directly to 9/11. That's all I go to. Yeah, listen, when the Yankees were up 3-0 on the Red Sox, obviously, and the Red Sox came in and they dented Kevin Brown, and they just went nuts at a grand slam. That was crushing. But the 9/11 tie-in to, like, want it so badly for the city, for the Yankee fans, who, not that it was going to change anything, unfortunately, but just a moment of happiness, a temporary respite from the sadness, which took over our entire country, but really our city. I wanted that. I mean, it was a different one. Yeah, I wanted to beat the Mets. Yeah, I wanted to beat the Braves in 96, and again, the Braves and the Padres. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted that so bad. With that broken bat, I just sat there comatose. I'm like, wow.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This made me question when I say things happen, freeze. My mom's always said that, and I believe it. I believe it. But that one tested the limits of that. That was one I could not believe they did not win.
Yeah, it didn't seem right after all that went on. Although, like I always bring up, at that particular point, I was rooting against the Yankees. I could root for the country, but I was rooting against the Yankees. Not going to lie. That was one of my greatest sports wins, the 2001 Diamondbacks. Number three for me, Game 7, 2006, NLCS. Mm. And the reason why I have that more painful than the Yankees one is because I fully went to that game expecting the Mets to win. And I also believe that Mets team was the most worthy Mets team of a World Series win that I have seen post-1986. That 2016 should have been a World Series winning team. And to see that Game 7 unfold the way that it did, and to hear when Yadier Molina hit that home run, I was in the upper level, to hear the dugout celebrating, the Cardinals dugout celebrating amongst 50,000 people that had just been silenced that was a sickening feeling. I still can't even believe that happened. The Mets have a bunch of losses, but that one will stick with me because I believed in that team that they were going to be the World Series champs. So Game 7, 2006, NLCS, Beltran, bat on the shoulder, Wainwright, that whole thing.
Nasty.
That was number three for me.
I mean, I'm just looking at the box score from that date. I mean, Reyes, LaDuca, Beltran, Delgado,
Floyd
Wright,
with a
Sean
big pinch
Green.
Hit, trying to come up. He didn't get the job done later in that game.
Yeah, Valentin, wow.
Yeah.
Chavez, I mean, I was on the air actually at 10:50 when that happened. I could not believe he did not swing. All right, man, you've walked out of Shea.
Dude.
With some.
I can't even get to the final regular season game in 2008 at Shea. That was an embarrassment where they had the celebration.
When they walked out, right? Everybody walked out from center field, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, after the fact the Mets were eliminated on the final day of the year in the final home. God. No, I've had some bad ones at Shea.
All right. Number two, I don't know if this is going to make your list because we're running out of space, but it very easily could, and it might. You win Game 7, miss finger roll, 96, pardon me. 95, yeah. So 94, of course, they lose to the Rockets. Now, as much, Mattingly's my all-time favorite athlete, you know that. But there's a different energy. There's a different, like, what you put out as you watch a basketball game versus a baseball game. And also through the last 6, 7, 8 years, Donnie was hurt. I don't know that I've ever hurt for a player and wanted for a player as much as I wanted for Ewing. And you just knew it, the way it looked, and just the despondency. It just looked awkward where he got the ball. He looked a little indecisive. Then I'm like, oh, he's going. Oh, he's going to yoke it. Oh, no, he's going to roll it. Oh, no, back rim, it's out. What? And you see the Pacers, Mark Jackson celebrating, a New York kid celebrating our low moment. And I saw Patrick, like, just looking around like, wow. That's when you have to think he's just never going to win a championship, because then it was over. Then the next year, Don Nelson came in, and then he was gone. Then Van Gundy. To me, that was the end of the true, even though they made it in 99, the true Knicks. That one crushed.
Trying to go over all the other losses and trying to see now what you have for your number one.
You'll never guess.
My game.
You will never guess.
My number two?
Yep.
Game 7, 1995, semifinals, the Ewing finger.
Wow. Okay, there you go.
So we agree on that one. I told you the story recently. I remember after, I remember watching the TV in disbelief. I couldn't believe that it was over when Ewing misses, the ball bounces off the back of the rim, and I'm like, oh my God, all you invested after the finals the year before, and you're thinking, all right, well, this year we're going to get back. We're going to win it all.
Yep.
Having that happen and the sudden finality to it, and then me, I had to go vent in the backyard, dunking the basketball out of frustration. I called the station, Bill Daughtry. I remember where I was in my bedroom, my little bedroom in my parents' house watching it. I didn't know what to do with myself. That one hurt. Didn't have to be there to feel the pain of that one. And you're right, it was even more than just that one game. That hurt me more than game 7 of the finals the year before. I was hurt by me personally. Mm-hmm. I was hurt by that, but this one, the 95 one, was devastating.
Well, and it was also his 11th year, so you kind of knew as you started to time. And he didn't quite look the same. He wasn't as bouncy. He was still really good, but he wasn't quite Patrick anymore.
All right, what's your number one?
Number one. All right, so you'll never – I can give you the million guesses. You'll never guess this. To me, it's 1995, Game 5, wild card, Yankee-Seattle. Because I knew, number one, the manner in which it happened.
Remember that game.
Of course. Bullet down the line. Edgar, I was always terrified of him. That Seattle team was tough, as even though the Yankees won the first two. Donnie hit a home run, hit .417 in the series. He was balling out. I gotta slip that in there. You know, Griffey flying around the bit. Brent on the call. Brent Musburger on the call. The relay to, for, I believe, was that Gerald? I think that was Gerald Williams who got it in left field. The plate layer, it's in a pile of dirt, and Vince Coleman. It was so abrupt, but I also didn't know, but I strongly felt almost like a force thing. Because I love Mattingly so much, I feel like the force told me at that moment he's going to retire, even though we didn't really know. So when I saw Donnie walking off the field, I'm like, I just watched his last game. It's over for Mattingly, and nobody loved Mattingly like me.
That's a great one. Oh, I mean, look, we've had some bad loss. For me, I'm not going to rehash the whole thing or go into great detail, but nothing will ever beat. I don't think in the history of sports fandom, nothing will ever beat being a fan of the idiot, loser, pathetic Atlanta Falcons who blew the worst lead in the history of football in Super Bowl 51, up 28-3, late third quarter. The fact that that loss was hung on me as a fan, I have to question the sports gods and think that that's not fair. Why them? I could see the Yankees having a bad loss. I could see the Knicks having a bad, New York, people want to hit. Yeah. Who gives a crap about the Falcons to be the biggest chokers in the history of sports? I'll never forget that night. I'll never forget that game. I will never, ever get over the result of that game. I will never be the same fan that I was prior to that game. It's impossible
that
to
change
be so.
That changed you.
100%. You can't overcome that. I'm sorry. There's no coming back from that.
What did you do? Do you walk around? Because you were with me. Were you guys married yet?
Yeah.
You were just married or still engaged? Or going out? I forgot.
No, I think we were engaged, about to be married later that year.
As the story goes, Sal's future wife brought a friend who's
over,
not a big football fan. So the viewing, just the whole vibe was compromised.
After everybody left and was asleep, I sat there and watched the post game over and over. I immersed myself in the misery and disbelief.
You did. You embraced it, huh?
Just blew this bleeping game, and I will never, ever, ever forgive them for that. That's why I hate Dan Quinn to this day.
On my podcast, A Spy with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow A Spy with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.